For more information about Ancient Dragon Zen Gate and Tygon's teaching, please visit us at ancientdragon.org.
I want to talk this morning about the practice of skillful means. We've been discussing, towards the end of a two-month practice commitment period where we've been talking about these actually 10 practices of bodhisattvas, of enlightening beings. And so each of these is a way of expressing meditative awareness in our everyday activity. And actually meditation is one of them, along with generosity, which Hogetsu spoke of last Sunday, and ethical conduct, which Nyozan spoke of recently. Patience, effort that Keizan's going to speak of next week. Meditation and prajna paramita. We have the Sanskrit for prajna on the wall over there. I'll talk about that later. And then there's four more: vow, skillful means, powers, and knowledge. All of these are particular practices that we can take on and work with in our everyday activity, in our everyday lives. And skillful means is one of the most challenging and one of the most important. So skillful means in this context is not about some kind of instruction manual which tells us how to fix things. Skillful means, you know, it's related to wisdom, it's related to patience and generosity. Skillful means is about our immediate response, about helpful response, about a trial and error, trying things. In some ways, it's the opposite of prajna, or wisdom, which sees the oneness and sameness of all beings. Skillful means is about seeing the particularities and the differences. How do we respond helpfully in each different situation, given the particularities of that situation, the particular problems, particular ways of seeing things of particular people? So this is very practical, and it's also challenging. So two places to look for skillful means: the Lotus Sutra, one of our most important Bodhisattva sutras, focuses, at least in the first half, about skillful means. So I want to talk about that. And also I want to talk about the Bodhisattva of Compassion, who's on the wall over there, and she is particularly represents the practice of skillful means and how to respond, and how to see the differences. So maybe one place to start is the Lotus Sutra saying, before it starts to talk about skillful means, just that the single great cause for Buddha's appearing in the world, or for Buddha's heart appearing in the world, is to help suffering beings enter into the path of awakening. So that's kind of the criteria for skillful means. How do we help ourselves and the people around us and all beings? This is very inclusive. Each in their own way, to find a way to enter into this path, this process of awakening, that really does free all living beings. That's the scope of what this practice is about. And of course we each approach it in our own way, and the point isn't to reach some perfect skillful practice of skillful means, but to just enter into the path, the process of awakening. So in the Lotus Sutra, it talks about, gives various parables that represent what this skillful means is about. The first one, maybe the most famous one, is the parable of the burning house. A man comes home and finds his house on fire. And this is in some ways a metaphor for the world and the suffering of the world and the pain of the world. our life and the world around us is on fire. There's tremendous suffering. But the man sees his children playing in the house and says, "Get out of there! That's terrible. Please come out here where we can enjoy the cool breeze." And the children said, "Nah, we're busy playing with our, you know, with our games, with our Xboxes, with the internet, and with our, you know, anyway, all of the different toys that they have." And the man says, "Well," finally says, figures he needs to do something, so he says, "Well, I have all these wonderful things for you out here," and he tells them about the different vehicles that he has outside of the house, so that they will come out of the house. And so they get all excited, and they come out of the house, and then they find that it's just one vehicle. So this is a metaphor for skillful means, that all of the different practices, all the different teachings of awakening are simply a part of this single great vehicle, which is that to help beings enter into the path of awakening. There are other parables in the Lotus Sutra about this. One of them is about a magical city, and the parable is that there's a caravan leader leading a caravan of merchants across this great desert, and the caravan leader represents the Buddha, and everybody on the caravan gets tired and exhausted, and they just want to go back, they just want to give up. And the caravan leader looks up ahead and says, "Oh, look, there's a great wonderful city, and we'll get refreshment there, and then we'll be okay." So they all come to this city and get refreshed and reinvigorated and are ready to proceed, and then the caravan leader says to them, "Actually, this is just an apparition of a city, and actually we have a long way to go now, but now you're ready to keep going." And the metaphor is of the that the conscious city represents aspects of the Buddhist path that are just about finding self-enlightenment, finding some peace of mind and for oneself, and some calm, and this represents the old idea of nirvana as an escape from our world. But the actual goal in this story is universal liberation. That we're not practicing just for ourselves, that we're all in this together in so many ways, that we are all deeply interconnected. So that's another kind of parable or story about skillful means, that this is an example of skillful means that the caravan leader or the Buddha provides, that there are tentative, temporary kind of places of relief along the way, along the path. Another story in the Lotus Sutra, which I particularly like, is about the universal reign of the Dharma, that the Dharma, the teaching of reality and of awakening, reigns everywhere. And all the different plants and all the different parts of the world receive this reign and are nourished by it, each in their own way. So each of us has our own way of being Buddha. I can't tell you how to be Buddha. I can share my experience of practice, but each one of you has your own way to be Buddha. Each one of you is nourished by the Dharma in the particular way that is helpful to you. So when you are willing to just be present and receive this rain, and be watered by the Dharma, then that can help you in your own way. So again, the point of skillful means is not that there's some, you know, one means fits all kind of solution to how do we find relief from suffering, how do we find awakening, how do we find great joy in our life in this world. That each of us has our own particular gifts, but also our own particular problems and sadnesses and losses, and we're all damaged in different ways. And we also can all find healing in different ways. So the practice of skillful means involves a lot of patience. When you see people in your life or in the world who are suffering, it takes a while to actually see what might be helpful. We have to just, sometimes, you know, rushing around trying to fix things or problem solve is not so helpful, or even can get in the way of real help. So how do we, so our practice of meditation, our practice of just sitting, is to be upright, find some inner calm ourselves, even amidst the swirling of thoughts, or if we're feeling sleepy or groggy, whatever's going on, to just be present and upright in this situation. And thus we learn, we start to learn about patience, about this active practice of patience. It's not just passively waiting for someone to come and save us, it's paying attention to what's going on in ourselves, in our own suffering, but also in the people in your life, the people in your world, and how to respond. So the skillful means is about responding in various different ways. It's about actually appreciating, respecting, honoring, not just merely tolerating or being patient with, but really appreciating the differences and how different people have their own particular way of awakening and their own particular issues that they need help with in terms of the process of awakening. So this is something we can all do. This is something that Buddhas and Bodhisattvas do for us. But how to pay attention. So I also want to say Happy Mother's Day today. This is not irrelevant. Some of you are mothers, and many of you have mothers or have had mothers. So Happy Mother's Day to all of you. And I think mothers are relevant to skillful means in some way. Mothers naturally, you know, not all mothers are good enough mothers maybe, but mothers see the problems of their children and try and respond. And, you know, we all know that mothers don't always get it right. But the point is that mothers are there paying attention, trying to respond, trying to help, trying to help. And so, I think, and also mothers recognize the differences. So mothers who have more than one child realize each child is particular. Some children are difficult in one way, some children are difficult in another way. Some children have this particular capacity, or some children have other capacities. So for mothers mothers are aware of this. And maybe this applies to fathers too, but I think in some ways it's maybe more immediate for mothers. Oh, how do I help with this child? How do I help with that child? And so skillful means is naturally, a Mother's Day practice. And that brings me to, the Bodhisattva of compassion, of Kanzeon in Japanese, or Anon, or Guanyin in Chinese, of Avalokiteshvara, often depicted as a woman or a mother. And the Bodhisattva of compassion is the one who listens, first of all. Her name, Kanzeon, means to listen to the sounds of the world. Sometimes to listen to the cries of the world. So a big part of our practice as we sit, one of the reasons why we sit with our eyes open, that's sometimes difficult for people. There are forms of Buddhist meditation or other kinds of meditation where people sit with their eyes closed. But part of sitting with our eyes open is the same as sitting with our ears open, just to be aware of the world around us. So in our practice, we settle into what is upright? What is our inner dignity? How do we stay present amidst all of the thoughts and feelings and all of the confusion and all of our greed or grasping and all of our fear or frustration? All of that is present too when we sit. We try, we say to put that aside, but you know, it's there. It's part of what's happening on your cushion or chair. How do we respond to all of that? Well, again, the practice of patience. And for the Bodhisattva of compassion, her name means literally to hear the sounds of the world. So to listen, to just patiently pay attention to the problems I have this week, or the situations in my life, in the people in my life, in the world this week who, you know, sometimes we have some difficulty with someone. And skillful means is about practically listening to that person. And well, what's a helpful way to respond? It's very easy to just feel critical and, you know, call somebody names because they're acting in a harmful or unhelpful way. But how do we pay attention to what's going on? What is their sadness? What is their fear? What is their pain? Beneath anger, there's usually some sadness or fear. So if someone's angry at you, well, what's going on? And it doesn't mean that, you know, listening to that, being open to that suffering in yourself and in others necessarily is going to help fix it. It's not about fixing it even. It's about just, can we be open to the world, to ourselves, to our own frustrations, to our own sadness. Not to try and get rid of our sadness, but just to be present and upright and breathe into it. Of course, you know, there's also joy in life, and we should also appreciate and be grateful for all the things that we do have to be grateful for. And maybe that's part of skillful means too. Maybe you can point out to someone in a way that they can hear, you know, all the things they have to be grateful for. But often it's challenging how to respond skillfully to people who are having a hard time, to ourselves when we're having a hard time, to your friends and family members when they're having a hard time. So again, the first step in skillful means is just patiently to pay attention. And then the practice of generosity comes in. Well, how do we... what is it to be generous to this person or to this situation in myself or others? So skillful means then is, again, trying things, trial and error. Like the man outside the burning house, he wasn't sure what to do. He tried to call them to just come out, but they needed some enticement. How do we help people to see the ways in which they are acting that is harmful to themselves or to you or to others? It's not so easy. So again, practicing patience. And then the Bodhisattva of compassion is a very colorful figure. She has many, many different forms, and that's part of skillful means too. So it's hard to see, but if you look closely when you leave, there's 11 heads on this version of the Bodhisattva of compassion, to see from different perspectives, to see with different eyes what is going on in any particular situation. And there are other forms of the Bodhisattva of compassion that are wrathful, that represent tough love. And then there's the form of the Bodhisattva of compassion. It has many, 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 many hands, 1,000 hands. Sometimes it's only 25, and they represent it symbolically. But in Japan, you can see in China statues with literally 1,000 arms, and each in the palm of each hand is an eye. So again, many different to see from many different perspectives, and many of the hands hold various tools, all kinds of different tools. So part of skillful means is to use what's at hand. So we don't have to kind of figure out some special, ultra-sophisticated way of solving some problem. The point is this kind of unmediated, immediate response. We see some problem. How do we respond? Trial and error. How do we use this, or how do we use whatever we have to try and be helpful. So I think mothers are good at this. They try and find ways to respond and be helpful to help their children stay out of trouble or find a way of working through some problem. And the Bodhisattva of Compassion also represents this with all the different hands. And Hogetsu told last week the story of two monks who were talking about, well, how do we, why does the Bodhisattva of Compassion have so many hands and eyes? And the other one said, it's like reaching back for your pillow in the middle of the night. So, you know, it's such an automatic response. It's not something that you have, that, you know, you have to figure out. It's just, oh, adjusting your pillow. Well, in some ways, skillful means is like this. Just to respond with whatever's at hand. Just to try and find comfort in whatever way, whatever we can do. So, maybe that's most of what I want to say about this. But again, this comes out of our practice of just sitting, of being upright and present in this body and mind, not based on our idea of who we are, but actually, what is it like here, this morning, now, to sit and be present on your cushion or chair with this body and this mind? And maybe we have several people who were here for the first time and maybe meditated for the first time, and it may be that you notice that there were lots of thoughts going on. And if you think that you can control your thoughts, you know, you just need to sit a little bit and see that there's all kinds of things that can come up. And so what's that about? Well, this is the sounds of the world. And we can get caught up in some stream of thought, but the practice is then to just come back and be present and upright. And notice, oh yeah, I'm thinking about whatever. It might be something silly like, you know, some laundry list or something you have to do later today, or, you know, or it might be something that's really troubling you. And sometimes sitting with that, insights arise, thoughts arise that might be helpful as a way to respond. But again, the point is, how do we bring ourselves to try to respond to whatever is going on that needs help in our world, with the people in our world, in the problems in our own life? And again, it's not about fixing it. And maybe maybe after the kids came out of the burning house, then some of them wanted to go back in. So it's not that we solve some problem once and for all. Sometimes that happens. It is true that sometimes things get fixed or healed, but you know, then there's always more situations. So this practice of skillful means is kind of ongoing way of considering, okay, what's going on here? How can I pay attention to it? How can I reach out, reach back, reach out? Where are the pillows? Where are the comforts that I can offer in this situation? But first we have to just stop and pay attention and not try and rush to fix things, but really from this inner centered, calm dignity that we connect with in our sitting, how do I respond? So, I'm interested in any comments, questions, responses that any of you have about skillful means and this practice. So please feel free. Ishin.
There always is a skillful response.
Yeah, and sometimes the skillful response is to do nothing. Sometimes the skillful response is to not try, that there's nothing to do right now. But you keep paying attention. And so, and what skillful response may not actually quote-unquote work. Or it might, in ways that we don't necessarily expect. So yeah, it's challenging. But the practice is just to keep paying attention and keep responding. And it may not be an active response, but if we're paying attention, then suddenly you can see some way to respond. And it may not totally fix the situation, but it might help a little. Other comments, questions, responses, please feel free. Yes, Kathy, hi.
I was talking to a friend this week, and they were describing to me the way that they felt their life had changed after being a mother for 20 years.
Mm.
And saying that, you know, when they were younger, they remember basically focusing on themselves. But as a mother now, that they're continually, always, you feel part of a system, and you're not only thinking about your children's needs, but the connection or their time with their father. So it's kind of like your own needs are a little bit more in the background, and you're continually thinking about a system,
mm-hmm.
and needing to take leadership in that system as well. I thought that was a neat, it's kind of a neat analogy.
Yeah. There's a whole world there. And I'm not a parent myself, but I'm a step-parent. But in some ways, having children is a way that biologically, so that, you know, the numbers of mothers and fathers here, but that we have to pay attention to someone else. Someone else's needs become, you know, as you were saying, more important than just, you know, what do I want? So, yeah.
And I think it becomes built in.
It's biological. It's not just some idea. Yeah.
So it makes me wonder how we develop that, or how I think there are ways to do that in a similar way of having it become like family to you.
Yeah, well, that metaphor is used a lot in Buddhism. That Buddha is in the story of the burning house, but in other contexts too. That Buddha is like a father, or Prajnaparamita goddess, or Kannon are like mothers. So, and the whole idea of the tradition and lineage, that there's this sense of nourishing the next generation that's part of this Buddhist tradition. But I think it's also can be part of our culture. How do we take care of what is here? But yeah, I think in terms of literally mothers, and to some extent fathers too, it's biological. And, you know, it's not just humans and animals too. In many ways, mothers are, you know, building nests and taking care of the children. So yeah, it's beyond our ideas about it. It's something very deep. Right.
Yeah, one of the problems I think of me being a father is not only the nurturing side of it, but then the letting go part of it. So easy to say, oh, you know, my child would be so good at this, I need to push her to do it, you know, and get my own ego caught up in it. And it seems in skillful means, I may be mishearing, but it seems like there's some goal there. You want the kids out of the house, you know, because it's burning. I mean, not that that's a bad thing. But where does that come? Can you speak a little bit to that? You know, I don't know if it's an attachment to a goal, but to have some skillful means towards something while not getting our own egos caught up in, okay, this is what should be.
Yeah, very important point. Thank you. Yeah, so part of skillful means and part of patience is letting go. You know, I may have some idea about how, you know, any of you should be Buddha. It's possible. What your practice should be like. But actually, Each of you has your own way to express awakening. And the same thing with the parenting and children. Children have their own. Children are, they're not just extensions of their parents. They are independent. So that's the part of seeing differences and respecting the differences and respecting the particularities of particular children or practitioners, that each person has their own way of developing and expressing themselves, and it's not. And maybe naturally parents do have some ideas of how they want their children to be or who they want them to be. That happens, but part of the practice of skillful means and patience is letting go of that. Paying attention still to what's going on with that particular child, but also not trying to force some idea of based on our expectations. So skillful means is, just reaching back, just extending a hand, just trying to help, but then it's not about our idea of an outcome. So it's an important point. It's about what is helpful in the process, not about reaching some goal of Buddhahood, but the process of being on the path to maturing, to becoming an adult, to finding one's own way. So thank you, that's a very important point. Alex?
I had an experience yesterday with my kids that I thought was a little illustrated with this idea. I was out taking them to lunch, they're going to get pizza, and we were walking down the street, and this guy, and he wasn't homeless, but he's, itinerant and kind of big, and I was trying to get a parking sticker for my car, and so the kids were off down, a little bit down the street doing something. This guy came running over, he's like, talking really loudly towards him, like, where's your mom? What's going on? So I walk over there, and he recognized I was their father, and he, explained, I was looking after your kids, and I don't know where your mother went, and, what's going on. And he was, talking very loudly, and he's kind of scary, and so I was trying to decide what's my best approach to deal with this guy, because he was trying to do something in his own mind. He thought he was being helpful and after looking at these children. So I thought in that context it was better for me to approach him in a friendly manner and say, well, thank you very much. I really appreciate you looking after my kids for me. And he wanted to talk more, so we talked more. But I left with that experience, this morning I was like, maybe I should have come a little bit harder with that guy, I should have been a little more aggressive with him, but then I thought about something, I thought, well, this also gave me an opportunity to talk to my children about, that guy was quote-unquote friendly, but he's also kind of weird, right, to them, I was talking to them, and I wanted to give them, here's a lesson for them, I said, while he was friendly towards you, he was not, he was still a stranger, so you need to understand the difference between a stranger and someone that's friendly, and who your family is, and stuff like that. So it presented a nice opportunity to give them a lesson out of that experience. So overall, it seemed like there were a lot of options to make a skillful response to the situation, and ultimately what was the best course of action. But it did make me think a lot about that process of skillfully approaching a situation.
Yeah, that's a great story about skillful means. And we don't know we don't always know what's the right way to respond to something. But I think part of it, part of skillful means, is trusting our own response. And you reminded me of another aspect of this, which is at the heart, in some ways, of ethical conduct, which is respectfulness. So even if this guy was a little weird, and maybe even though he was trying to be, it seemed like he was trying to be helpful, but maybe, who knows, if you hadn't been there, what would have happened. But to start from the context of respecting everyone in the situation, respecting the people who you're having a hard time with, and how do I express something to them that where we can harmonize, respecting the situation. So I think you know it sounds like you behaved in a way that was very, very skillful, all in all. But we don't, you know, it's not some instruction manual that we can say, oh, this is the way I should respond in some situation. You have to kind of, that part of the idea of the Bodhisattva of compassion is she responds immediately, you know, kind of from the gut. What seems right here? But again, this idea of starting from this perspective of respecting all beings, everybody involved in the situation, respecting your daughters and what were their needs in the situation, respecting your own response, respecting this guy who, you know, you weren't sure where he was coming from. So, yeah, it's a great story. Thank you. So we have time for one or two others. If any of the new people want, people who are here for the first time, have any questions or comments too, please feel free. Keza, you've been here before, but go ahead.
That's like the first time in the time. Could you talk a little bit about equilibrium? It seems like I've been thinking about that. You know, I just finished teaching a very busy semester. I found myself thinking about equilibrium yesterday as I was trying to return to a sense of that.
Yeah.
And it seemed like it's so much a part of our practice and maybe a part of being able to skillfully behave.
Yeah, so part of what our practice of upright sitting helps us to recognize is some sense of calm and some sense of balance. So there's always this balancing in the story that Alex gave, you know, taking care of your kids, not responding, you know, inappropriately, aggressively to this guy. You know, there's always, in every situation, there's how do we find the balance here? So I think that's part of skillful means. How do we, you know, having, so part of what works about this practice, and for people who are here for the first time, I really recommend doing this not just once or twice, but regularly, every day if you can, or several times a week. And you don't have to sit for 30 or 40 minutes, which we usually do, but even for 10 or 20 minutes. Just to have a space in your day where you stop, sit down, you don't need, you know, whatever blankets or cushions you have at home, just stop, sit down, face the wall. For, you know, 20 minutes or whatever. And just to be there. So it's not about doing it correctly or incorrectly. It's about just giving yourself this space to be present as you are. And that helps over time develop this sense of calm, equilibrium, balancing. A big part of Zazen is, we emphasize in this, in the instruction, the posture. And that's about, you know, how do we find, you know, what is upright, what is center, not leaning forward too much, not holding back. Finding that sense of balance, and a lot of our practice is coming back to balance, recognizing when we lose our balance, when we get too caught up in all the work we're doing and, you know, kind of get frazzled, and then, oh yeah, and maybe you have to wait till you're finished with some grading or whatever. Okay, how do I find center again? And in the course of a period of Zazen, it happens too. We get caught up in thoughts. Okay, how do I come back to my breath and uprightness? Or we feel sleepy, and, you know, if you feel sleepy, that's what's happening, but pay attention to it, and how can you bring yourself back to attention? So this part of a huge part of practice, a huge part of patience, a huge part of generosity and skillful means in all these practices is this coming back to balance. So thank you for that. Yes, sir?
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking, you know, you use the term balancing, you know, coming back to center and stuff like that. I'm thinking about that story, you know, the story from the Love Sutra, and it's really interesting because, I mean, one aspect of that that you didn't particularly notice today was that, in fact, the father kind of lies to his children, which is, you know, on the face of it, maybe, you know, you could ask questions about, you know, how that fits with the precepts and stuff like that. And another sort of quality of that story, I think, is, you know, they're talking about these different vehicles, and it's like, how do you present the Dharma? You know, you have to find a way to present it in ways that people can hear. And that might involve you presenting it in ways that you might not prefer to talk about it. You know, you might prefer to, like, you know, how do you talk to somebody of another faith tradition in sort of language they can interact with and understand, that's not aggressive, that's respectful, but still is true to the Dharma, but might not be the way we speak to each other. And so there's, it seems like this idea of skillful means, there's this idea of not being too too attached to, you know, your idealized sense of how things should be in any given instance. You know, sort of in the interests of, you know, a more, like Kathy was talking about, the sort of more systemic sort of notion of, like, how do we move the situation along in a wholesome, respectful, constructive way, you know, which in any given case could be anything.
Yeah, well, I think part of the teaching of skillful means is about that exactly. It is respecting differences. So, in terms of presenting the Dharma, in terms of expressing ourselves most wholesomely, from whatever Dharma position one has, to have this sense of openness that part of the point of, I could say, Buddhism and all the different script sutras and practices, but even more widely, just the different wholesome and constructive aspects of any culture, you know, is that there are different ways that different people connect with, again, the single great cause. How do you help people onto the path of awakening? And when you see it that way, it's not a, you can't lie. You're you might be saying this truth in some helpful way that is not everything you might say, but you're actually, it's all part of the truth of and openness of that single great cause of helping beings towards awakening. So speaking to someone from, you know, Buddhism is a very much a minority religion in our culture, as we all know. So speaking about our truth to someone from, you know, who's Christian or Jew or Islamic or, you know, whatever, we don't have to use Buddhist words. How do we talk about the truth as we see it in a way that they can hear? That's the point. And it's not about being deceptive. It's about really seeing that all of it is related to the basic problem of how to help beings find relief from suffering. Good question. So, thank you all for listening and for your contributions to the discussion, and happy Mother's Day.